And let's turn to the book of Ruth tonight. Over the last several weeks, we've looked at the kindness of Boaz to Ruth. Now the day is over. Ruth has gone home, and she receives yet another pleasant surprise from her mother-in-law. So let's look here in Ruth chapter 2, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin to us, one of our near kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So we're going to look at these points tonight. We're going to see Ruth shared her harvest. Secondly, we'll examine Ruth's surprise relative. And then lastly, Ruth's steadfastness. As we look at revealing the kinsman redeemer tonight, we need to see that we must remain faithful to the end. And so let's look to the Lord for his guidance, please. Father, as we again examine your word, may we again be challenged to continue to remain steadfast until the end. Stay faithful to you, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ruth shares her harvest is the first point we want to see. And we should be concerned about others and their needs. And this is a good time for us to be reminded of this, to not look always to our own needs, but look on the needs of others. What do others need right now? How can I be of help to others? God gives us an increase so that we can share with others, not hoard it for ourselves. Hold your place here in Ruth and come with me over to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and starting at verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, A ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whoso shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, is not rich toward God. And he said in his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you should eat, neither for the body what you should put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought of the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so also clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you, unto you." And so we see that God gave us not to hoard to ourselves, as this rich man had done, and said, "I'm going to keep all my stuff. I'm going to build bigger barns. That way I can just live a life of ease." But he's given it to us to share with others. And then Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't take thought of these things. My Father knows you have need of them. I'm going to care for you." You know, as we see, even right now, and I don't believe it is, hopefully nobody's panicking, apparently some are, of Well, it started with toilet paper. Now it's everything in the grocery store. The meats and everything seem to be depleted. And some are panicking, saying, oh, man, I need to hoard it all up. You know, God is still in control, and he's promised to provide for my needs, and he will. But we need to be busy serving him. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we seeking, are we doing his business? Are we busy doing the work of the Lord? Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now, it's not a sin to keep some for yourself. I think last year when we were helping distribute groceries after Hurricane Florence, we kept some of it for our own folk too, right? Because we were in this storm too, right? It's not that we gave a lot of it away, obviously, but we kept some for ourselves. But others will be surprised at the blessing of the Lord. Look again in verse 18. When she gets home to Naomi, she brought forth and gave to her a reserved after she was sufficed. Verse 19, her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? She took notice of the bountiful harvest. And others will notice when the Lord's providing for you. It's an opportunity to tell them of him. But she says, where hast thou gleaned today? And whose field were you in today? A question we should ask ourselves. In whose field was I working today? Was I working in the Lord's field? Or was I working in the devil's field? Where was I gleaning today? And then she says, where wroughtest thou? The word wrought has the idea to work, as in iron. We call it wrought iron because you work the iron, you heat it up, twist it, and turn it, and bend it, and all that stuff that they do with it. They work it. Well, where were you working today? Where did you labor today? What labor have you done that is going to matter for eternity? And then Naomi says, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Remember we talked last week about how much, after she had beat out all the wheat, or the barley, or whatever it was, all this grain, she had an ephah, however much that was. It was obviously a lot that she took home. And so much that even her mother-in-law was, who took notice of you? Because, boy, that's a little bit much for one person to gather in a day, doing the normal gleaning that a widow would do. And so somebody obviously took notice of you today. In other words, the abundance of her harvest pointed to the special favor that was granted her. Can I say, as the Lord blesses in my life, others should see God's blessing in my life and say, wow, there's something different there. You know, it seems like there's a lot of blessings. Now, it doesn't mean trials won't come, but God does bless us abundantly as Christians, does he not? All right, we got one amen out there. And then we've come down then to Ruth not only shared her harvest, but we see Ruth's surprised relative. At the end of verse 19, she says, the man name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. She reports who he is, just as you and I need to be talking of our kinsman redeemer and telling others about Christ. Because we're co-laborers together with Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. But then Naomi, I'll get them straight, rejoices in the fact as Boaz. Verse 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. She rejoices in the Lord's blessing. Now, remember earlier when we saw Ruth going out that day, it says, by hap she happened upon this field, right? She just kind of happened upon this field. It was God's leading, and now that she's done gleaning for the day and takes that harvest home, Naomi is rejoicing in the fact that, hey, this wasn't just circumstance, but God led you to this man because this man happens to be a near kinsman. In other words, one that can redeem Ruth. He had obviously taken notice of Ruth, and perhaps Naomi was hoping this would lead further. No, not perhaps. I believe Naomi was thinking, So obviously he took notice of you because you have a lot of grain you brought home today, and he's a near kinsman. You know, she's playing a little matchmaker, right? but Naomi's rejoicing. Now, isn't that interesting? Because where did we see Naomi just a few days ago? Well, for us, it was a couple weeks ago, but in the passage, it was just a few days ago. Right. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because I've been bitter. God has dealt bitterly with me. But now, this same lady who comes back to Bethlehem, having had this bitter experience, is rejoicing in the fact that, hey, you know what? It's not so bad after all. I believe this situation we're in right now, when we get on the other side of it, we're going to look back at it and say, you know what? It wasn't so bad after all. I mean, think of just a little over a year ago. For those of us that were here, some of you were spared. You were down in Pensacola. Two of you were. That was good for you, right? Good for them, right? But you know, here we are almost a year and a half later. You see some remnants of it left, but it's not so bad anymore, is it? On this side of it. Not as bad as it was when we were in the middle of it, that's for sure. Well, the bad experience that Naomi had is in the past, and now it's looking better. Truth is, folks, even if it never gets better this side of heaven, there's still better waiting for us. It's going to get better from here. So that's something to rejoice in, because it's only going to get better from here. Which brings us then to the end of the chapter, looking at Ruth's steadfastness. Verse 21, Ruth said, Moabite said unto her, he said to me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men till they have ended all my harvest. Now, barley harvest went and the wheat harvest, which would be from April all the way to early June. And no, I didn't know that until I looked it up, okay? But April to early June, April, May, June, that's a long time working in the fields. But she's to remain steadfast in this field. She's not to look at other fields and say, well, you know what? I might get more over there. Well, that looks a little bit nicer, a little bit better. No, she's to remain where she was put. And a servant needs to remain faithful, and faithful where God put us. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, is required in servants that a man be found faithful. She was to keep fast or abide fast to be joined together. You know, and I understand this is kind of the nature of the way Havelock is, but especially when we had more Marines over on the base, we saw a lot more transient people here. And there still is some transient, and hopefully we'll get there again when we see these new squadrons coming back in. But the interesting thing is, a lot of people, when they come here, this isn't their church. My church is back home. And you hear that a lot, you know, back home, my church back home, or, you know, whatever. And I understand that, and I don't get offended by that, because I'll be honest with you, when I was in the military, wherever we were, I would refer to where we had been. You know, it's kind of natural. That transient of, this isn't, I'm not here, I'm not resting here because this isn't home, you know. Well, so we need to be faithful, not where we used to be, but faithful where God has placed us today. Be faithful here. And I encourage a lot of those transient people to, look, I understand this isn't like your church that you're used to, but while you're here, just remain faithful. Remain faithful here. Serve here. And then it's interesting to me how many leave here, and then they go somewhere else, and then they compare us to here, you know? I mean, this is kind of the way it is, right? And I've had some call back and or email me or whatever and say, boy, we really missed the way it was there and this and that and the other thing. And so then I try to encourage them, be faithful there, because you're there now, right? But isn't that kind of human nature? I mean, she could be looking back at Moab and thinking, you know, I mean, boy, I used to live with mom and dad. Of course, then I did get married and I had a husband taking care of me. But, you know, I had my own culture there. We had our own whatever. You know, I missed the little restaurant down the road and I missed this back there and I missed, you know, whatever we had there, you know. But she wasn't living there anymore. She was where she is and she was being faithful where God had placed her. And that's important for each of us. Be faithful where God has put you. And then it says, she was told, thou, again in verse 21, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. In verse 22, Naomi says unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, go, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She labored all the way to the end of harvest. You know, nobody really pays a whole lot of attention in a marathon how everybody starts the race. But what they're really paying attention to is, how do you end the race, right? Because nobody says, wow, that was a great start. But everybody says, wow, that was a great finish. And so it is in our Christian life. We need to finish well. And we need to continue to be faithful all the way to the end of harvest. You know, harvest isn't over yet. You know how we know? The trumpet hasn't sounded. We haven't been called out of here yet. There's still souls to be saved. So harvest isn't ended yet. But she's warned, don't go to another field. Stay in his field. You know, you and I need to be reminded, don't go to the world's fields. Stay in the field that Jesus Christ has placed you in. Don't go to somebody else's field and work there, but stay where you're supposed to be. Remain or dwell where God has placed us. But not only was she faithful in her work, but she was also faithful to her mother-in-law. The end of the verse, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, mother-in-laws get a bad rap. And is this being recorded? Oh, okay. Well, if your mom hears it, I'm in trouble. Mother-in-laws don't do it the same way your mom did it, right? And mother-in-laws don't do it the way, you know what I'm talking about. Well, do you think Ruth and Naomi did everything exactly alike and wanted everything to, no, I'm sure there was disagreements there. You put two ladies in the house and that's going to happen. All right, I got myself in trouble even more. But to any two people in a house, that's going to happen. But she remained faithful, taking care of her responsibility. We do have a responsibility to take care of family. Matter of fact, I was talking with some pastors the other week about the church's responsibility to take care of widows and the fatherless. And one of the churches, the pastor was saying how they have a program to help widows, but they have to be a widow indeed, as the scripture calls them. He said, if they have family, he said, I'm not trying to be rude, but the Bible says it's their family's responsibility to take care of them. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? We have a responsibility to take care of family. You know, there's one of our commissioners whose husband is suffering from Alzheimer's really badly. And it's gotten to the point where he became a danger to himself in the house. So they removed him from the house and put him in a care facility. And she's kind of fallen apart about it because I think in some way she feels like she failed because she understands her responsibility to take care of her family. But she's not a failure. She's done everything, matter of fact, more than most would in taking care of him. But we see Ruth shared her harvest. She didn't keep it all for herself, but she made sure her mother-in-law was taken care of. The surprise relative. Oh, by the way, that guy you're working for, yeah, he happens to be a near kinsman. Stay on his good side. Things can get really good for you. And they did too, didn't they? And Ruth's steadfastness, how she continued to remain faithful. So, how are we doing in the harvest of the Lord? Are we remaining faithful? Are we sharing with others? Are we telling others about the kinsman redeemer, the one who's redeemed us, the one whose field in which we're working? Let's remain faithful to the Lord, steadfast in what he's called us to do. Let's bow for a word of prayer.